Out of the huts of history's shame I rise. Up from the past that is rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear on the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into the daybreak that is wondrously clear, I rise. I am the dream and the hope of the slave, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I rise, I rise, I rise. Maya Angelou. Today in Florida, high school students are returning from their sojourn with leaders in Tallahassee. They have gone to speak to those who rule over them, saying they are no longer prepared to see their friends and their relatives shot dead by people with assault weapons. And already there is pushback from legislators and organizers who are telling parents and children that if they stage a walkout over this issue, they will be punished and expelled from school. And so the battle goes on. And today, Robert Mueller, somewhere, is pressing even harder to bring an end to this Trump travesty. And today, across the world, white-helmeted volunteers are scouring the wreck of suburban Baghdad, looking for survivors in all the air raids of the last few days, and as they do, they are walking like fish in a barrel. Does the community of faith need to be more like them, do you think? More rising, less falling? More fury, less accommodation? Have we slipped into the caricature of an old man, do you think? Rumpled and grumpy and wrapped in a quilted blanket and shuffling along with a stick. Is that what the Church of Jesus Christ has become these days? Are we saying we're just passing through and it doesn't really matter? Life is cheap and death is guaranteed, so keep your head down and hope little. There is no ultimate destiny. Faculties fade, and so do we. Is that what the community of faith is saying? Hang in, hang on, hang tough, and then be hung out to dry, sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything, as Shakespeare wrote. It's too bad, you know, that this culture does not engage more in the richness of the Bible. Far from being a right-wing book that tries to cramp your style, the Bible is a treasure store of rich human experiences. It offers perspective and regeneration on every possible situation in which we could find ourselves. The book of Genesis has been reworked by many hands over the centuries because of its value to reflect the social and political needs of the editors in their day. The stories are malleable and can be made to encourage that which the people are going through. The stories of Abraham are meant to be an injection of hope and of vision for a people who are tempted to dream small and to fear much. Life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style, wrote Maya Angelou. Listen to the rejuvenating priestly view in the book of Genesis of an old man and an old woman in their old age. Listen. You are not too old for visions. They will shake you up and rock your world and leave you laughing out loud when you hear them. Do not stop living while you're still alive. There is a standing invitation to wonder, even in the face of our sense of creeping infirmity. Imagine walking with God without blame. Does that not sound like a wonderful way to walk through the world, walking with God without blame? There is a promise of progeny, too, a future yet unseen. The priestly account says to the old man and the old woman, we shall yet be known as ancestors, not just no names, who happened to pass through to feed, breed, and die, but revered examples of lives that are heralded in family stories and commemorated in cenotaphs and stone. We will be given a new name, says the text, not a stale, familiar epitaph that limits who we are, but a new sense of self and new worth in other people's eyes. We shall be seed beds for kings and queens, it says. We shall grow movements towards truth and justice and honor that shall grow seed. Our lives lived in the hands of a living God shall do more and more, says the text. There's no small daring and there is no useless gesture. But as with Abraham and with us as well, the old patterns fall too easily back into place. I'm too old, we say, hopeless really, too distant from the modern mindset, too far from the reins of power, we say, too self-preoccupied about my little ways and my little journey. Stop, do not settle for that, do not do that to yourselves, says the text and the Spirit. There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you, writes Maya Angelou. I feel great power when I read about Abram. A wind blowing through the stale and stained categories of our days. As long as there is life in our bodies and our institutions and our social movements, we have the makings of ancestors and of kings and queens growing from our seed. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time, says Maya Angelou. Well, world, that's who we are. That's who we are. St. Paul takes up the theme of Abraham too, saying that all these promises prove themselves when we have faith in them. Could it be that easy? Just have faith in them and see where they take you. We are not simply citizens or consumers or statistics or a class or a race or a gender or cannon fodder for somebody's war or cheap labor for somebody's scheme. There is a God living in the world, you see, and we are the children of that God, first and foremost. St. Paul writes, God gives life to the dead and brings into existence that which does not exist. There's the truth, and we ourselves are the proof. At one point, we never existed. All those whom we love and know never existed. The things we have discovered and gathered as the most valuable things in our world never existed, never were thought of. And yet here we are, dancing under the sun in a limited amount of time and knowing all we know. We are living proof that there is something in the world that brings into existence that which does not exist. Trust your own self to know how the world works. Have faith in your own existence as proof of it. Here then is the daily mantra for us. I am alive as a gift from God. God is alive in me as a gift for others. That's the mantra. I am alive as a gift from God. God is alive in me as a gift for others. Now, of course, there's a catch. There always is a catch. And we know there's a catch. A dark cloud of a violent death is at the end of the Lenten drama in which we are participating. A martyr who dared to dream is murdered by the minions who bring us nightmares. The centerpiece of the Jesus story is something called the cross gospel. It was thought to be a section devoted to the suffering and death and resurrection of the Messiah. And it is thought by scholars that this section was written first and was added into the Gospels as we have them, as a piece, and then blended into the whole story. But first of all, the church's concern was about the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of the Messiah. And so the first question that the church asked is, how could such a vision of truth and beauty be so heartlessly destroyed? That's a good question. When we see young people mowed down in their own classrooms, how can such a vision of truth and beauty be so recklessly destroyed? The question remains. How could those in power and those who steep themselves in the greatness of a tradition turn their fury on the spotless Lamb of God and of all lambs of God who seek to change the system? Why is the world crooked when it could run true? Why is goodness so hard to affirm when badness seems to run without limit? They hunted him for fear of losing their power. They would rather kill one than lose all. They would rather save their own skins than see if this man and his mission could save the world. They feared him for his honesty. They hated him for his beauty. They resented him for his popularity. They rejected him for the breadth of his concern. Such is the mystery of iniquity that lives among us, and we must address it in our time. If we choose, we in the church, today we in the church, can live out the caricature of a grumpy old man. If that's what we want to do, we can do it in complete safety. We have a little money in the bank and some tradition underneath us. Go ahead. Live like a grumpy old man. Sip your cocoa. Let the world go about its business. Pray little prayers. Read our dog-eared pamphlets. Grumble about the young and about the wildness of the society around us, and present ourselves as portraits of aches and pains. Is that good enough for the followers of the Lord of Life? Exude nostalgia. Tell stories nobody wants to hear. Benevolent smiles will greet us at every turn, as befit the out-of-touch and slightly addled. Do not confront. Do not organize cells of alternate opinions. Do not exceed the range of your tax-exempt status. Do not name names or push back too hard in the street. Well, we're in a conundrum, aren't we? An old man's affect in a world where youthful zeal and daring are demanded. T.S. Eliot wrote, "I am no prophet, and here's no great matter. I've seen the moment of my greatness flicker, and I've seen the eternal footman snicker, and in short, I was afraid. I grow old, I grow old, I shall wear the bottom of my trousers rolled." Lent is a hard season. Too many choices for old bones, too many needful battles to leave them alone. Yet we are gripped by great visions, and we are compelled by great needs. The ancestors are calling through us. Gardens are waiting to bloom because of us. How shall we go? Ossification or inspiration? The choice of the church today. Let Dr. Martin Luther King speak for us at the end of these remarks. He said these things on April the 3rd, 1968, one evening before he was brought down by a white supremacist with a rifle. "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I have been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like everybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. I'm so happy tonight. I'm not worried about a thing. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." We are the dreams and the hopes of the slave. We rise. We rise.